Blog Talk Radio.
Black Wealth Creation Radio, where we create wealth in the black community. I am your host, Sean Hill, with my wonderful, fantastic co-host, Louisa Sanderson. Louisa, how are you doing?
Doing great, Sean. Doing great. It's a Monday night, so it's a little bit different for me. I got to get into my Tuesday night mode, but I'm doing good and I'm excited.
Me too. Me too. And I feel the same. But you know what? When you're hopping on and you have a good topic and you have good company, you just sell right in. So, you know, I'm excited about tonight's, subject, because as we talk about black men and what are some of the keys to success, that's what I want to hear about. You know, we can all talk about the articles and we can all talk about the negative things that we see out there in our community. But what are some keys to success? What are some solutions that we can pinpoint? And I am excited to talk to our host tonight. It should be a wonderful show. So, you know, once again, this show is sponsored by BigLashes.com and also MindYourBlackBusiness.com. And that is Louisa's show, her website. So, Louisa, tell us a little bit about MindYourBlackBusiness.com.
Well, I'm glad you asked. The site has officially relaunched today. It's actually been up for the past 2 weeks after redesign, overhaul, migration, all those good technical terms. But today was the first. today was the first day of new content. We have our first business of the week spotlight for 2015. And anybody who is already familiar with the site, they know that that's like the thing for the site. It's my opportunity to showcase a small black business for a week and to really just draw attention to them as much as possible. So I'm really excited about that. And then as we move forward, it's just going to be more content, more writers that I have working with me, more businesses and professionals to showcase and partner with. So I'm excited. I'm as geeked as they get when it comes to it. So, but but you know, today's also kind of a celebration for you too. This is your second day back in the social stratosphere. How does that feel?
Oh, it feels great. You know, I came back on the Super Bowl, so I got to watch the Super Bowl because I had, you know, sworn off TV too, so that was tough. So I came back right at the right time, got to see a fascinating game. Really interesting, I guess, depending on who your team was. I know we got a lot of hurting fans out there, but, I got a chance to watch that, got a chance to come back on Facebook, as I call it, and get a chance to connect back with, you know, a lot of people, you included, and that was fun. And so I'm back. I don't know if I can say better than ever, but I'm back and doing okay, doing all right. But I'm excited. But enough about us. People didn't come to hear us. They came to hear our wonderful guest. And so, Louisa, can you just share a little bit about him while I bring him online?
Sure. The gentleman that we have on tonight is somebody that I actually connected with socially through Twitter. I guess it's been about 4 years ago. And, you know, you just start following people who look interesting and seem like they have something going on. And at that time, he was what I would call an up-and-coming relationship coach. He had some really provocative things to say about relationships. And to me, I saw people that didn't necessarily agree with it, but, you know, the truth hurts sometimes. So I was really – I really appreciated his candor. And then I've watched him really just grow himself, his brand, his market, his knowledge base, over the past 4 years, and he's an expert now. I call him an expert in his field, an expert in his industry, and that is Mr. Cheyenne Bostock. He is an author two times over. He's a relationship and life coach, and he is somebody that you want to know, and that's because not because of who he knows or what he can do for you, but he genuinely looks for partnerships. He genuinely wants to help as much as he's looking for help. So I advise anybody who wants great advice, reach out to him. If you're looking for a great connection, if you're looking for some great information, tune in, because tonight he's gonna give that all to us. And I'm just really, really excited to hear what he has to say. His latest book is Break Every Chain, and I call it a love letter to our men, because it really addresses a lot of the issues that men in general, but in black men especially, as far as dealing with relationships with fathers and the community and siblings. It just really touches on so much of that. So without further ado, Cheyenne?
Oh, Cheyenne, can you hear us? Hello? He should be here. I see that. His mic is on. Cheyenne, if you can push one. He's mic'd up. You have us on, wow, my gosh, what is that?
Well,
can you hear us, Cheyenne? Let's see. Technical difficulties, bear with us, let me see. Okay, Cheyenne, can you hear us? Okay, well, he's here. I can see him online. I wonder if he has his phone on mute.
He just messaged me. He said he's going to call from another line.
Okay.
He just messaged me, so let me see if...
Well, Louisa, you know, you're kind of familiar with him and kind of what he's going to be talking about. Can you tell us a little bit about what, you know, what conversations or what's really attracted you about him?
Well, you know, he has the one thing about Shy is that he, like all of us, is flawed, and he does not try to draw away from that. He doesn't try to deny that. If anything, he's really recognized, you know, his own humanity, which is how he's able to be so open about relationships, how he is able to address certain topics that, you know, some of us might think, well, we're not supposed to talk about that, or are you supposed to say that? You know, because he's been through some things in life, and I really don't want to take too much away from him. But you know, he at one point was homeless.
Wow, I think we got him. So let's try it again. Let's see if we got him this time. Cheyenne, are you there?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
There we go.
Hey, Cheyenne.
All right. Now we're working. As Mama, you say, now we're cooking with gas.
<That's it. laughs>
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing good.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Well, we are glad we got you on and finally got a chance to, you know, kind of hear from you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your past and whatever you'd like to share right now?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a great pleasure to be here. My name is Cheyenne Bostock. I'm a life and relationship expert and an author. But more importantly, I'm a father. I have a beautiful 7-year-old son, and I love him to death. And one of the things that motivated me to write my latest book, Break Every Chain, Every Father Should Teach His Son About Life, Love, and Relationships, is that my father was always there. And what I mean by there is he's always been in the cemetery. And I just recently visited his burial plot for the first time in my life 2 months ago. And it was a very emotional time for me, and my brothers joined me on that trip. And it was a break every chain moment for us. It was very emotional. I had never seen my brothers cry, and this was one of those times where they just broke those chains and they let go. And so what that meant for me was there were some things that I had to let go of. And there were so many lessons that my father never taught me, some things I never experienced from my father, my older brothers, or any man. And I want to make sure that my 7-year-old son gets that from me. And when I leave this earth, this book, Break Every Chain, is going to be the piece of his father that he can hold on to forever.
Wow, that's powerful. Now, see, that's the type of reality show I would love to see. Now, that's something that's quality, especially as men. You know, a lot of times we are reluctant to share pieces of our hearts, even with those closest to us. And to see something like that as men, go and reclaim some things that may have been lost and get some things that may, you know, have, you know, been found now, that's power. That would be power.
Definitely. And I'm hoping that I'll open the door to these men breaking chains. And if you go to my YouTube channel, you'll see interviews from prestigious men here in Brooklyn, New York. We have Senator Kevin Parker, our borough president, Eric Adams, Assemblyman Walter Mosley. We have Reverend Clinton Miller, and they've all volunteered to do the what I call the Break Every Chain movement, where I ask them, what chains do you want to see broken in our society? And every man that I've interviewed had a different story. They all grew up different places, they live different lives, and they've seen different things, but they told me what they personally wanted to see broken. For some, it was gun violence. For another, it might have been they want to see fathers active in their lives. And some people want to see the epidemic of poverty done away with. But everyone wanted to break a chain. And when you give men an opportunity to speak about the things that are bothering them, they'll speak about it. That's something that I've noticed with doing this movement, is that they want to release. It's a very therapeutic process as well when you talk about your emotions and your feelings.
That's incredible. And I want to join. So what is the YouTube link, or how do we find you on YouTube? Because that is awesome. That is awesome right there.
Well, the great news is I'm easy to find. All of my social media is Ask Chi B. That's AskChey, and the letter B. So you can follow on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, and YouTube under the same name. And the website is also AskChiB.com, where you can find all of the social media outlets.
All right. Well, you know what? As much as I've enjoyed talking to you, and as much as I want to continue to talk to you, I'm not going to be selfish because I have a wonderful co-host who actually introduced me to you. So I know she's been waiting with bated breath, and she's been so kind to kind of let me jump in and get a few questions. But, Louisa, come on, step up. You've been so wonderful. I know you got some things you want to say.
I'm not going to be too selfish because I've had my opportunity to speak with Chi. He's actually going to be featured on the website this month, so I've had my opportunity to connect with him. But I do notice, Chi, that you call it a movement. You know, the Break Every Chain movement. You know what? It's for some of us it's a book, for some of us it's advice, but you're referring to it as a movement. Other than these wonderful fathers and sons and brothers and uncles coming together on the YouTube channel, what else do you think it's going to take to break every chain? What do we need to do even as women to help our men?
Well, I've been trying to keep quiet about this, but I do want to include the women. And you ladies put up with us. So I know there's some chains that y'all want to see broken. And I'm very interested in hearing what you ladies. I'm very interested in hearing what you ladies have to say about that. But this is definitely a movement, and the way it got started is that I just simply sat and I talked with the gentleman, and the things he was saying about his relationship with his son and his relationship with his father, I just thought, wow, you're only one man. Imagine how many men have something to say. Because we're not very vocal about our feelings. And this is that opportunity to give men the platform, give men the microphone to talk about their feelings. And in doing so, it will open up doors all over the community, all over the world, showing men that it's okay to cry. It's okay to show emotion. It's okay to tell another man, I love you. It's okay to share. It's okay to bond. All of these things are okay. But as men, one of the things that we're taught, even as young men, as boys, is to hide our emotions, to hide our feelings. And what happens is these feelings and emotions, they don't go anywhere. They get bottled up inside. And we get angry at ourselves and sometimes lash out at others because we don't know how to handle these emotions. And so that's a chain that needs to be broken.
Excellent. And I know with the movement, it is really about the men and what they want to see broken, or at least that's what it's been so far. But what about our young men? What about our high school guys? What about our middle school young men and college? How do we reach them? What do you think the key is to really stop the cycle before it even gets started, or to try to circumvent as much as possible? How can we engage with our younger guys and our boys to prevent the cycle?
Well, my 7-year-old son, he looks up to me. He wants to be just like me, walk like me, wants to dress like everything. So we have to pay attention to who these young kids are looking up to. Are they looking up to their father? Are they looking up to men in the street? Are they looking up to hip-hop and rap artists? Whatever it is that they look up to, we need to communicate with them to get the message to these kids. And if we can effectively get the message to them and tell them and show them that it's cool to go to school and get your education, it's cool to wear a suit and wear a suit that fits, not hanging off your behind. It's cool to get a haircut and be well-groomed. It's cool to treat women with dignity and respect. Once they see that they've been doing things wrong, they'll be motivated to do things right. So it's up to us, the adults, to break that chain and start showing our youth a better way.
Okay, all right. Now, and you said you've worked with some of the men locally to the Brooklyn area. Are there any organizations that you've specifically partnered with? Anybody who's doing similar things to what you're doing but also need the support because they are helping to break that chain?
Absolutely. I did have the good fortune of meeting the gentleman who's the founder of That Suits You. And what his organization does is they work with other organizations to get suits for young men who are transitioning into the workforce. And I think that's an amazing cause and something I definitely support. And also, there's an organization called 500 Men Making the Difference. And they have all types of community service projects that they do around the state of New York that I've joined forces with to help break the chains that are holding us back from being successful in life, love, and relationships.
Okay. Now, you know, we're getting to know Shy right now, 2015. What brought you to here? Where did you start, so to speak? And what's been your path up until now? What prompted you to do what you do?
Well, you know, back in, I'd say, 2011, I was in a rough patch in life. I was struggling in my relationship. I was struggling in my finances. I was struggling in life. I just didn't have any sense of direction. I had no plan. And so I found myself ending my relationship and moving into a homeless shelter. And at that moment in my life, that was the darkest, coldest, loneliest place of my life. I was sitting there thinking to myself, what am I doing here? Not just in a homeless shelter. What am I doing here on this earth? If I were to die in this place, would my life have meant anything to anyone? Would anyone care that I'm gone? And the sad part was, the answer was no. And so I said, you know what? No, I can't go out like this. I have to make some changes. I can make some serious changes. So two things happened. One, God spoke to me. And two, I listened. For the first time in my life, I listened. I would apply to 100 different jobs a day, and nothing. So God spoke. He said, maybe it's time for you to stop looking for people to hire you and start doing the hiring. So I said, wow, that sounds great. So how do I do that? And then he said, I want you to go volunteer your time at a nonprofit organization. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I'm broke. I'm living in a homeless shelter. I have a roof over my head, no food. I don't have time to go and volunteer at a nonprofit organization. I need money, I need a job, and I need it now. And so I said, you know what, wait a minute. Maybe this is what landed me in a homeless shelter in the first place, being selfish with my gifts, my time, and my resources. So I listened, and I went to a nonprofit organization. I filled out a volunteer application and submitted my resume. And when they saw my resume, they said, Mr. Bostock, we don't want you to volunteer here. We want to hire you full-time. And so I was like, wow, was this what God was trying to tell me? That when I have a great attitude towards giving my time and being of service, that I get blessed? I said, wow, I'm going to try this for the rest of my life. From now on, this is how I'm going to operate. And having that attitude has opened up tremendous doors for me.
That's amazing. Yeah, because it's a lot of times God's talking to us, but we don't listen. So it's amazing that you listened, and what it's turned into for you, the blessings that it's turned into for you. So since deciding to listen to God, deciding on your path and following that path as a relationship coach and expert. How did you happen upon that? How did you decide to enter into that industry?
While I was living in the homeless shelter, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know if you have experienced this, but has anyone ever just come to you for help? Everyone comes to you asking for this, asking for that?
Right, yes.
That was me. So here I am in a homeless shelter, broken relationship, broken spirited, broken pocketed, and people are calling on me for help. And I would help people in the best way that I could using my resources. And I took some time. I took a spiritual journey. And while I'm applying to these 100 different jobs, I'm discovering who I am, what my value is, what my worth is. And so I said to myself, you know what, Cheyenne, what are you really good at? Well, I love talking to people. I love helping people. I love motivating people and inspiring people. Maybe I should take those gifts and turn that passion into a source of income. And that's exactly what I did. While I was helping people get through their relationship issues, their financial issues, their branding issues, I was helping myself. And over time, as questions came in, I set up an email for people to email me. And it became so overwhelming, I had to put a price on it. It started off at first, hey, listen, I can't take your questions anymore. You're going to have to leave a donation. And then they said, okay, we'll do that. And then through so much, I said, you know what, I need to put a price on this because I'm consuming all of my time. And I decided to take a hiatus to really figure things out. So I took a month off and came back with the Ask Shy Beast blog. And within 1 year of that blog, I had over 25,000 subscribers.
Wow.
And so I was like, wow, I'm really on to something. These people really want more. So the next thing was, hey, do you have a book? And I said, no, I don't have a book. And I thought, maybe I should have a book. These people keep asking. And so I came out with my first book, Food, Sex, and Peace of Mind, What a Woman Needs to Know to Keep a Man. And from there, I continued writing. I started to tap into the media outlets, TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and the rest is history. Now I'm on with my second book, For Men, Break Every Chain.
That's fantastic. That is really fantastic. you know, as I've told people times over, as especially as I tell them about you and what you've done, I tell them, I said, you are Shy B is no holds barred. He is not going to hold his tongue for anything. And you and I discussed this a little bit during our own interview, but you know what? If you could share with the listening audience, why are you so candid? You know, what is the importance of being so open with your consultation with everyone?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in my studies is that most men struggle with asking for help as it pertains to relationships. No man wants to admit that he failed at anything, let alone love. And so most of my clients have been female. So I would cater more to the female audience as I put out my tweets and my blogs and things of that nature. But when I speak to my female audience, and this is a very sincere response I'm getting ready to give, I would look at them as my sisters or my daughter. And so I speak to them out of love. It's not the most romantic or sensitive way that I possibly could. However, I'm speaking to them this way so that they can get the picture. You know, so that they don't fall for the traps that life sets for them and men set for them. So some of them get it. Some of the ladies get it. Some of them are offended by it because they're not used to that tone. They're used to sugarcoating. They look used to someone holding their hand. And sometimes that's not the way to get through to someone that you love. Sometimes they don't get the message that way. And I tell them, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your coach.
I love that. I love that. Just straight and to the point. Straight, no chaser, as they say. Shy, as we look at the black community, especially specifically men in the black community, what do you think are some solutions to the many challenges that we see that we're facing?
One of the main challenges that I see is that there is a fear of coming together, unifying, and resources. There is a fear that if you help someone, they're going to take from you. And like they would rather have 100% grape than 10% of a watermelon for some strange reason. And I personally think that when you bring your resources together, let's say you have 100,000 followers on Twitter. I have 100,000 followers on Twitter. I don't look at that as you have 100,000, I have 100,000. If we're working together, I look at that as we have 200,000. And I believe we can do so much more together than we can alone. And once we grasp the spirit of collaboration, we as a community will be so much more successful.
You know, that is so true. And I think a lot of it comes from that scarcity mentality that, you know, if I have something and there's something out there, then we need to be competitive. And if you get it, then it denies me from having it. And I think that's one of the chains that need to be broken. I asked this in the chat room. The chat room is open, and we would love to have you give us a call. The call-in number is 347-850-8677 if you want to talk to our fantastic and fascinating guest tonight, just dropping some gold nuggets here, and I love the conversation. But I asked that question in the chat room about what are some chains that we need to see broken, and one of our guests mentioned that trust, that chain of trust, mistrust, and that's kind of what you're alluding to and what you're saying is that trust that we should have with each other a lot of times is not there. So what would you say? How do we break through that? How do we break that chain?
I think we have to open up a conversation. And sometimes you have to start off small. And if you're in a room full of people who are afraid, then you may offer yourself as an example. Like, listen, here is where I am. Here is where my business is. And here is where I want to go. But I can't do it alone. I need your help. That might trigger some other people to share something about themselves. When you're transparent, when you're showing that you're not afraid to be vulnerable, that can create a domino effect. But if you step into the room and you have a different attitude, a different approach, you say, oh, everything's going great. My business is super successful. I've been doing it all by myself, and everything's great. I don't need anybody. Then you're going to put everybody on guard, and they're going to react the same way you did. They're not going to be transparent. They're not going to be vulnerable because you weren't. So if you start them off and lead the way, you can open up the door for transparency, vulnerability, and the sharing of resources.
Man, that's good. That's good. It's about being open, and I think that's one of our challenges as Black men. I love seeing this. There are groups on Facebook, Black men uplifting each other, and I really want to see more of that as we move past some of our burdens and some of our chains that have held us back, and really reach out to each other. I think one of the chains, kind of along the same lines, that I'd love to see broken is, as you said, that need to be so fiercely independent, that need to, kind of push everything and everybody away. And as brothers, as men, we need to be shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, and moving forward and looking at our community and saying, hey, there are some real challenges that we're facing. We can't do it by ourselves, and we shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to look at you as a threat, and you shouldn't have to look at me as a threat, and we should be about working together and helping each other. So what I hear you saying is, just really, as men, we need to take the challenge on and be open and honest and not be afraid of getting hurt. And I know that sounds kind of the opposite, but we have to be open. We have to be honest because we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other's help, and I just really believe that. And what are your thoughts about how to get that started? I mean, you already have a movement started, and I love the movement, and we just want to support it. We want to keep that going. But other than that, what are some other challenges that you see in our community for our men, and how can we move past those?
Some of the other challenges that I see is that a lot of men don't have leadership. And when you don't have leadership, you end up on a lost journey for most of your life because you don't know where you're going. And unfortunately, what happens is, those men, they date. They date, mm-hmm. and they get in relationships, and they have children, and you mm-hmm. can't teach someone something that you don't know. So if you've never been taught about finances, how can you teach your son about finances? Mm-hmm. And that goes on from generation to generation to generation, and it's a downward spiraling effect of negative business practices and financial practices. And that's the chain that also needs to be broken. So as leaders, as mentors, as entrepreneurs, we need to not just take what we've learned and apply it to ourselves, but also reach down and grab someone else. Mentor someone. Teach someone. Volunteer to be a service in an organization to where you can share your expertise. I always tell people you can't take your knowledge, resources, and skills to the grave. So use every day of your life to get a service.
You know, I think that's the key. One of the pastors that I follow, Oakland Bible Fellowship, Tony Evans, says that if you want something, help other people get what you're trying to get. And what he was basically saying is what you're talking about. Even in your lack, in your downtime, your area of lack, you were still willing to extend yourself. You were still willing to give back. And, if you're out there looking for a job, help someone else find a job. Help someone else, get to where they need to be. If you're out there struggling in your business, help someone else be successful in their business. And that type of opportunity, it seems like the world just opens up the door for other avenues for us. And I think you hit on something that was so profound when you say that there are no examples out there. And it's one thing for us to look at our youth and young men and see, you know, the pants sagging and seeing all the things that really kind of depress us a lot. But we have to kind of take a step back and say, where were the examples? Can we really blame these young men for being products of their society? And I'm not trying to, excuse any of the behavior, but if someone like yourself and myself is not really willing to take that chance and reach out to these people, these men, young and old, in love and speak the truth in love, then where do we expect them to change? Where do we expect that change to come from? And I think we, as men, we all have a burden, that we all should have a burden to reach back and help someone out. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely, definitely. We all are on a journey, and we all need each other's help. And one thing that I noticed in, say, the Jewish community is that they work together. They share resources. They communicate. Everybody's employed. Everybody's doing well. And why can't we do that in our community as well? Why don't we support Black businesses? Why don't we refer?
Uh-oh. Sound like we had some technical difficulties. Sha, are you still there? Hello?
Did we lose them?
I think we may have lost them. Let me check the back. Yeah, I think we may have lost them. Wow. I hope he calls back in. I have a feeling he will, because we were just about to get to the meat of the thing. And Louisa, talk a little bit about, from a female perspective, what it's like to kind of go through this and see so many of our men hurting. And yet, I think what I've learned in life is that hurting people hurt people. And see so many of our men hurting and not being able to reach out to other men.
You know what, Sean, and you make a good point, that hurting people hurt. And it's so sad, because especially with our younger men and our younger women, you know, you see these guys and girls, and I don't want to call them guys and girls, but you see these young men and young women in relationships with one another, just for instance. You see the discord, you see that they're not getting along, but there's so much behind each of their stories that it's just so much that has to be worked on before they can even come together. You know, they have so much work on to do on one another individually, you know, and so I see that, and to me that's the biggest thing. It's when you come into relationships, especially when we're talking about man and woman, because, you know, the heart of the Black community is the Black family, and that's just been that's become just something that, you know, when you hear about somebody who's been married or who's been together, a couple has been together for a long
time. Hold on, I think he's back with us. Sha, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with you.
There you go. Okay, good deal. All right. And Louisa just brought up a wonderful point as she was talking about, you know, relationship and as men reach out to other men and become healed, and how that can help, all relationships, even the man to the woman's relationship. And I think that's what we see in our communities. And you were talking about, before we lost you, about other communities and how they model behavior as far as finances. And I'm big on that. Everybody that knows me knows I'm real big on us working together and committing to each other, and how that kind of bonds in with relationship. Can you talk about how that all comes together, the finances and the personal relationships?
Definitely. When we talk about handling money, we talk about also how you handle your time. And those are two things that men are extremely big on. But what happens is, when we don't have the mentorship or we don't have the leadership, we end up wasting both time and money. Because Everybody, I don't care what nationality you are. If you're a man, you want to be financially stable, because being financially stable will make you feel better as a man. It'll make you feel better as a significant other. It'll help you feel better as a father. And it'll make you feel better as a leader, because now you feel like you have some sense of discipline and self-control. And also you have value that you can teach to someone else. And so when you don't have that sense of stability, that makes you feel insecure as a man, and not just insecure, but insignificant. And that's what's happening a lot in the African-American community. We don't have the leadership, so we're wasting our time, which means we're not making enough money. So now we're feeling insecure and insignificant, and that's the thing that certainly needs to be broken.
You know, and that's so powerful as we talk about, you know, not wasting time, because I think time is one of the most valuable resources we have. We can always get more money, but we can't always get more time. And when we lose those chances to bond with our young men and to build that bond, and, you know, a lot of other cultures and communities, they have a transfer process. In other words, they have a process when a young man goes from being a child to being a young man to being a man, a true man. And I think that we miss some of that. I think we miss a lot of it, in that we don't have that clearly defined way of transitioning. Can you talk about, and even with your son, what are some things that you're doing that others can kind of take away from and help their young men and build them up?
And again, my 7-year-old son, he looks up to me and wants to be just like me. So, and it's funny, I just gave him a little notebook yesterday, and I wrote goals on the front of it. Because we went to a Walmart the other day, and he just wanted everything. And it was just one thing he wanted. He wanted a fishing rod. He said, "Daddy, let's go fishing." I said, "Okay, it's a little cold, but when it gets warmer, we can go fishing." He said, "We need a fishing rod." I said, "Okay, let's go see the fishing rod." And we were trying them out, and I said, "Oh, okay, it's $15 for the kid one." And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Remember that price," because I knew as we went around the store, he would want more things. So he saw a Super Soaker. And he saw a Super Soaker that was $35. And then he saw a skateboard. Yes, as a matter of fact, that was $25. And he saw a skateboard that was $35. And I said, "Okay, you listed these three things that you want. How much are they?" He remembered the numbers. I said, "How much is it all together?" He remembered the number. He added it up. I said, "That's how much money you need to save." I said, "My job is to give you what you need. It's your job to earn what you want. So you have a lot of work to do." And I'm teaching him these things so that he can become financially independent, because tomorrow's not promised. I have to teach him these things as early as I can. And so hopefully he sees that his father is using his gifts and talents and skills to do many different things: public speaking, write books, host events, different, create a brand, different things like that. And hopefully he'll get motivated to do those same things for himself. And he is. My son is very creative, and I definitely see that entrepreneurial spirit in him. I think it's natural, but I also believe that he's picking it up from me.
That's
you know,
great, Shai.
Go ahead, Louisa.
Go ahead, Sean. I didn't want to be the quiet mouse here. You know, Shai, we're talking about the man son relationship, but what about men and their daughters? Because you know, just as the absent father from a son's life has such a horribly negative impact, I think it's just as bad for our girls, because those who grow up without a father, they don't know what type of man they should be looking for. So what is your opinion on that, and what do you think? I know you have a son, but just from your perspective, what do you think men need to do as well as nurturing their daughters?
Absolutely. My first book, Food, Sex, and Peace of Mind, What a Woman Needs to Know to Keep a Man, is a book for my daughter. I don't have a daughter yet. However, everything in that book is what I would say to her. And it's extremely important that a father is a daughter's first love. That's the first man she should fall deeply in love with. And the father has an obligation to show his daughter how she should be treated. And this is why a man would go to see a woman's father to ask for his hand in marriage, because a man, he can discern whether or not another man is good for his daughter. And not just good for his daughter, is he good for himself? Is he a good quality man? That's what a father is looking for. And so when that father figure is missing, the woman lacks the standard. She lacks the standard, and so she goes into society looking for what she believes to be good. And when the men of society see that she didn't have that standard, she uses that as an opportunity, unfortunately, to manipulate her thoughts and feelings. And if a woman doesn't have a relationship with God, she's going to get fooled by these manipulators, these liars, these cheaters, because she doesn't know any better. So a relationship with the Father, both literal and spiritual, is extremely important in the development of a woman.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. You know, and I think a lot of times when we think in terms of men and the community, we really do look at those relationships with men, with their brothers, with their fathers, with their children. But what about with their spouses, with their girlfriends, with the women in their lives? You know, that's one that I think kind of just goes. It gets taken for granted that a man has that relationship, because usually it's mama who's there, a big mama. But not having your relationship settled with your men in your lives or what have you, and not having those chains broken when you enter into relationships, romantic relationships, that really affects men, I think, as well as women. How can couples come together? How can couples break every chain between them so that we can start to have stronger black families and stronger black children and communities? What is your take on that?
Definitely. One of the best relationships you can have is with yourself. You have to get to know yourself before you can get to know someone else. And this is a process that many people avoid. They get into relationships right after they just got out of a relationship. For example, from 0 to 18 years old, we're in a relationship with our parents. And we don't allow that healing process after we break up. So we graduate high school, and then we go to college, right? We just got out of one relationship, and then we get ready to jump into another. We don't take that time from 18 to 24 to get to know ourselves. We're so happy to be outside of the house, happy to start having sex, happy to start dating and all of these different things, that we're just caught up in the moment and not thinking about the future. And we waste a lot of time. We go through a lot of different relationships and experiences, all because we didn't take the time to get to know ourselves. And subconsciously, it's a rebellion against our parents. For all those years we couldn't have the opposite sex over, for all those years we couldn't stay out late, for all those years we couldn't be intimate with someone else, it's like we're going to exhaust ourselves indulging in all of these activities until we get tired of being used. And then that's when we reach a state of maturity where we're saying, you know what? I need to take some time away from relationships because I can't focus on school, or I can't focus on work. So I can't focus on myself. I'm losing myself getting to know you. So we have to break ourselves away from that individual so that we can get to know ourselves and grow as individuals and figure out what our purpose is on earth, because oftentimes we believe our purpose is to serve our boyfriend or our girlfriend, and that's not a purpose. That's not God's purpose for our lives. but it takes us so long, unfortunately, to grasp that. And sometimes you have to eliminate the noise and take a spiritual journey all by yourself to figure these things out and birth those changes.
Right. I have one more question, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Sean for the remainder of the show. But let's talk about sex. And you mentioned, you know, how we, especially when we're young, we get out there and we want to do everything. And usually doing everything is doing everyone. And when we get into those, when we start to look at relationships as sexually and we get caught up that way, you know, and then this day and age, everything is so sexualized. Do you think that, you know, we need to, you know, especially our younger generation, and even those of us who are older and who are more mature in our ways, hopefully, do you think that we need to go back to a more, I don't want to say old fashioned, but do we need to take a break from sex? Those of us who are not married. Do we need to not focus so much on the sexualization of relationships? Would that solve our issues, or at least some of them?
Well, you know, I do believe that chivalry is not dead. I think that old-fashioned ways do actually work, but it all depends on the individual and what their goals are. And you have to think, when it comes to relationships and marriage, you have to think long-term. So if you want long-term results, you have to have a long-term plan. So I believe that taking your time, getting to know the individual will definitely allow you to see whether a person is worthy of your time and deserves a place in the future. Sometimes we avoid that process and we skip over that process that we find ourselves in bed before we're in love.
Wow, that'll preach right there. In bed before you're in love. That's something right there. Shai, what are some areas, or not areas, but how do we get started? And we talked about some challenges. We talked about some solutions. But for our listeners out there that have gotten what you're saying and grabbed the vision, other than joining the revolution on YouTube and buying your book, how else do we start healing our communities?
As on an individual basis, I would recommend that you set goals for your life. Have a mission statement for your life. Figure out what your purpose is. And think about your future. Write out your short-term goals, 0 to 12 months, your mid-level goals, 1 year to 5 years, and your long-term goals, 6 years to 10 years. And take the time writing these things out and writing out why they made it to your list. For example, if you say on your list, I want to be married in 2017, write out why. You could say, because marriage will add value to my life, because it will help me reach enough, feel a sense of accomplishment. Whatever that why is, write it out and put a date and then work towards it. Instead of just jumping into relationships, jumping into bed, jumping into a quick fix, get a plan and work towards those goals. A lot of times we are so impatient, we want the growth right away. But if you know anything about agriculture, you have to plant the seed, water it, and then watch it grow. And there's some nurturing in between there, too. And it's not going to happen overnight. So whether it's your business or your personal relationship, be willing to put in the time that it needs to grow.
You know what? One of the keys, I think, that you pointed out, and I love your story, is, and Louisa actually pointed this out, how you started. And she's been knowing you, I think, or following you for 4 years, so you're not an overnight success. And I think what that says to me is that if you stay in it long enough and you work hard enough and you are focused enough, you're going to get there. So just talk a little bit about that, about that stick-to-itiveness, that drive and that passion that you have to reach those goals that you were talking about writing down.
Definitely. I always like to encourage my viewers and readers and followers to have the five P's. And I'm going to do I'm going to leave the P that is often lacking last. So the first P is passion. You have to have some type of passion behind what it is you're doing. And if you don't enjoy it, you probably won't work as hard at it. And then you need the purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? And then the product. You are the product. And there are other things that may fall under the product, the umbrella of you. So make sure that you are the brand. And then there's people. You need people to advocate on your behalf. And that requires you to have quality, solid relationships. And that takes time. Think about your high school friends. Think about your college friends. Think about your coworkers. Think about people that you go to the gym with and at church with. Would they speak on your behalf? Would they advocate for you? Would they be an evangelist for you? Those are the people that you need on your team. And then finally, the thing that many entrepreneurs don't have is the partnership. You need people who are going to come together and help you get to the next level. Why do everything on your own if you've got millions of people available that you can connect with and build partnerships with? So carry these five P's and implement it in your personal and professional life.
I love that. Can you give us those five P's one more time? That's good stuff.
Absolutely. Passion, purpose, product, people, and partnerships.
Man, that's good. That's gold right there. I'm telling you, if we could just follow those and focus on those, we would move so much further ahead. You're our guest, and you're a guest in our home. And I want to be respectful of your time. We're right up against the hour. How much longer do we have the opportunity to just kind of sit and pick your brain? I don't want to overstep too long.
Well, I'm happy that you asked that. I do have another interview that I have to jump on, but it was great talking to you guys, and I appreciate you having me on the show. It was awesome.
Thank you, Sha. I'm going to let Louisa have the last words with you since she had the first one. So, but thank you for being here, and I look forward to following you.
Excellent. Definitely keep in touch.
All right, Shai, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you when you come to Dallas at the end of the month. That's February 26th, right?
Actually, we're going to post new dates on our website, so stay tuned to www.ashib.com for the new tour dates, but we are definitely coming to Dallas, Texas.
All right, sounds good. Well, we appreciate you being on. I'm surprised we didn't have any callers. I know people are out there listening because my Twitter's blowing up, my Facebook's blowing up, so I know people were listening, and they're just picking up all these nuggets that you were laying down for us. I think they're just shy, and S-H-Y, not C-H-E-Y.
If you guys are listening and you're shy, feel free to call me on Free Advice Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time at 646-389-7145. And that number is also on the website. So feel free to call me in. And the calls are anonymous and private, so I look forward to hearing from you.
All right, Shai. Well, thank you. Have a good evening, and we look forward to seeing a whole lot more from you.
Excellent. Likewise. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right.
Thank you, Shai. Wow. I guess this is going to be the show after the show because just some real good nuggets there. I'm on his website now. I've bookmarked it, askshib.com. Beautiful website. I mean, it's just incredible information here as I just kind of scroll through. And one of the things that I really took away from that, Louisa, that conversation, and thank you for bringing them on the show, is the need that men should have to really be transparent and not the bravado, not the, you know, testosterone, you know, that, oh, I can do this all myself, but really being open and transparent and honest. And I think that is one of the keys that will help us move forward. And I think sometimes that as black men, and we're just going to speak about black men, I think that's one of the areas that we have such a challenge in, is really being transparent in being vulnerable without being weak? And have, what is your take on that?
You know, I agree, and I've had this conversation with a couple guys that I know, and you know, I try to flip it on them, and it's, yeah, you don't have to be boo-hoo crying, but you have to be, for our men who want to lead our families and our communities, you have to know what's best for everybody. And so if you don't want to be that boo-hoo crier, figure out what works for you. You know, be that man and step up to the plate to say, I need to open up to my brother or my mom or my wife or my kids. I need, you know, figure out how you can be transparent in your own way. Because that, I believe, is the biggest barrier to any relationship. And not just our men, you know, because we have some broke women too. But it's, you know, especially for our men, we do. You know, but I think if we can all figure out how to be transparent and how to be more open with one another and really realize how invaluable it is to the state of our relationships and our families and our communities, I think if we really took that perspective, we would have more proactive men, women, and then we can show our children.
Now, I don't know if you actually got a chance to mention yours, but from a female's perspective, what are some of the changes that you see on black men, maybe that we have a little bit of a blind spot to, and then maybe we can't always see them? As a black woman, what are some changes that you see that need to be broken?
Oh, goodness. You know, you men, I think, and Shai might have hit on this, but I think it's not asking for help. And, yeah, you know, he kind of put it into a very general perspective as far as, you know, the partnership and business and success. But it's also within just our intimate relationships. You know, you don't have to, I think a lot of men want to be the savior. They want to be the problem solver. I think that might be in your DNA. That's just the way you're built. You know, women are typically built as nurturers, and guys are the fixers. And it's not, you
right.
don't always have the answers. You know, you don't. So, and it's okay that you don't always have the answers, because you have that's what the community's for. That's what the family's for. That's what your partner's for. So I think for our men, it's coming to terms that you're not going to always know everything. You're not always going to fix it. And that's fine, because you have somebody you have a partner in some shape, form, or fashion who's going to help you. And it's also a teaching time for our children. You know, for our boys, they start to learn that it's okay to ask for help. And for our girls, they start to see, well, you know, mommy and daddy are working together. You know, daddy doesn't have to be it. You know, he's the provider, of course. He's the man of the house, and however that perspective works for a family. But at the same time, the girls get to see that they can be strong. Girls get to see that they can also they have the opportunity to contribute to the dynamic. So I think if we can overcome that's a big one. I've seen it, and it's just. It's important, you know, because you're not going to know everything. And I think when men start to, when they feel that, when you put that burden on yourself, then you're setting yourself up for failure. Because when you don't know, which is going to be a lot of times, you feel like you've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the challenges I see, even in my life, is I think there is, I don't know if I want to say a reluctance, but I think there's some hesitancy with men bonding with other men and not thinking of a homosexual type thing, or I'm going to be considered as this or less than, but really just helping each other, just truly just out of the, you know, just working together and helping each other. And I think as we look at our society, there's some challenges there and some difficulties there because, you know, it's just not natural. You know, and I think that's why some young men gravitate towards gangs. Is because there's that sense of camaraderie. There's that sense of unity, and we have to find more productive ways to do that. You know, one of the things that I always look at in our community is not everyone is going to be an athlete in athletes and in football teams, basketball teams, and different sports. It engenders that type of camaraderie, us against them, and let's work together. So you're kind of molded into that. The military does some of that, but what can we do is the question I, you know, often pray about and think about. As just ordinary people, what can we do to foster that sense of working together? And I know some great guys and just great people to work with, but I wish I knew more. I wish it was there was an easier way for black men, especially. I think black women tend to be more communal. I think they tend to be more open, and not always in a good way, but you know, sometimes it's a little too open, but some things you don't need to know or want to know. But I think there's some quality to that. I think there's some benefit to it. And on the other side of that spectrum, I think as men, we tend to be more guarded. We tend to be more, you know, afraid, for lack of a better word, afraid of really reaching out and being hurt and being vulnerable because we've had to as we grew up. And you know, I think a lot of our, and I'm not trying to blame women, and that's not my goal tonight, but I think a lot of that is placed upon young men, young boys, as when there's no man in the house. Now he's told, now you're the man of the house, way before he's ready to have that role, way before he's ready to have that title, and he has to grow up all of a sudden. He has to take on these responsibilities, and he doesn't have a leader. He doesn't have an example, and he certainly can't look to the media for an example of how to be a man, how to take care of a family, how to love a woman, because so much of the media that we are, you know, bombarded with is all about how to sex a woman but not how to love a woman. And can you talk a little bit about that role? We talked about the father-daughter role, but talk a little bit about that, the mother-son role.
Goodness, now I have to actually draw from my own experience. There you go. you know, I've been blessed. I have a son and I have a daughter. So, you know, I see both sides of the coin and I have both relationships. I think when it comes to that mother-son relationship, it is just as important as the father-daughter relationship. But and like you said, though, and with, unfortunately, so many times over within our community, that mother-son relationship becomes something that it shouldn't necessarily be, because the son is kind of forced to step up to the plate a lot sooner than what he's supposed to, because there might not be a man around, you know. But on the other side of the coin, there are families with the full dynamic, and you have, you know, both parents in the household. But even then, it's, you know, there's still the chore of instilling certain qualities into your children, you know. And with women, we show our sons, you know, how a woman should treat them, in the same way a father does with a daughter. And I think there is that balance of finding, okay, this is my baby, this is my son, but, you know, how soon do we start to let go? How, you know, at what point do we have to recognize that my baby boy is now a young man, is now a grown man, you know, because then you end up with the mama's boys, you know, and you see that in different aspects, you know. You see the ones who are kind of the comical, you know, never seem to leave mama's bosom. But then you also see the ones who are very lost in relationships with women. They, you know, they don't know how to treat women because they've been babied by mama for all their lives. Or they kind of run over women because they were put into that position of man of the house for so long that, you know, they've become, they think that that's what they are. They are in charge. They are there to do whatever they want to, you know. So there's so many different dynamics I think you can go with parents and their children, regardless of our economical state, social status, whatever. But it just, I know for me, it's been about finding that medium of having allowed my son to go from a baby into a little boy, into a young man, and he's
Oh, hello. Did we lose
sure.
you? Oh,
can
there
you hear
are.
Me? Can you hear
oh,
me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, Sprint, y'all. I keep telling you.
can you hear me now?
So I think, you know, it's finding that delicate balance of allowing our children to grow and while also offering them the examples of what they need to look towards when they are seeking relationships, whether it's, you know, young men amongst their friends or as they start to seek romantic relationships. But it's a lot, and you know, I feel like I'm rambling because I don't have everything to really offer people, because we all have our different dynamics and our different relationships with our children. But for me, like, it's been that balance. It's been about finding what point do I let go, or what point do I kind of push him further, you know, and not saying that all of his girlfriends are horrible.
You know what, I asked this in the chat room, I think it's worth repeating here, as we look at the situation of black men as a whole, do you think it's getting better or worse?
I don't think I can answer that for everybody, because my thought has always been, you hear about women, you know, historically, all men are dogs and men ain't no good and blah, blah, blah. and I have to sit back and say, well, I don't have that experience. I've mm-hmm. not had the experience, you know, even from, of course, everybody runs into the bad apple, but I've not had that historical experience where I just think all men are horrible. And I think a lot of it is who you are. Because what you know, the type of person you are is what you're going to attract. It's your mindset. It's what you set out for. And so I think is when we, in terms of men, black men, and the, you know, kind of the state of the black man, I'd say when we look at it from the state of the black man in America, his position is not a good one. You know, and we've mm-hmm. seen it over, you know, we've seen it over the past year, especially with the media, social media and all that good stuff, you know, with the Trayvon Martins and all the other young men and men that we've lost. But that's not new. I don't think it's all of a sudden open season on the black man. I think what's happened is we are starting to see more people bring it to light because we're fed up with it. I think that's really what mm-hmm. it is. But the state of the black man in America is not a good one. It hasn't been for many, 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 many years. The state of the black man within the black community, I'd have to say it depends on your community. I'm blessed that I'm exposed to a lot of positive black men, such as yourself and people that I've worked with, and people in my community. But you know, there's to say that it's all peaches and cream. No, there's still a whole lot more work to do. There's still a whole, because there's communities where our men need the education, where our men need the reassurance, where our men need that support. So I think it's just about, is there room to get better? And that's yes. Our men need us, and so there's always that call to action.
You know what? And maybe I'm just a hopeless optimist, but I'm going to say it's getting better. And I mean, not that it's great, and maybe it's 49-51, you know, so we're not talking about a landslide here. All the votes have not been counted, and maybe there are other precincts still, maybe there's hanging chads out there. But I really believe that it's getting better because of men like Shabi and men being willing to be open and vulnerable and not be weak. And I think that's the balance that a lot of men have that difficulty finding, of being a true man, there for their family, supportive, you know, and still being vulnerable and still having that soft side. And I think that's the challenge. And as I look at our community, and unfortunately, a lot of times it takes something negative happening in our community before we'll really make some type of movement. But I really believe that things are getting better as far as black men and their relationship, black men and consciousness of the community, and reaching back and reaching out and helping each other and coming together. Now I think the key is going to be where do we take it from here? Where do we make that move? Where do we go and continue to move forward, even if it's inch by inch, even if it's yard by yard? How do we take our communities back? And I think that's going to be the key. I think that's going to be the tipping point. And I think we're a while away. I really believe we're moving in the right direction. I think we're moving ultra slow, but we're getting there. And my concern for our communities is, will we get there fast enough? We are quickly losing ground to other communities. And yes, Louisa may make it, and yes, Sean may make it, or whoever. We're just using our names. But we need the group to make it. And I think what Shai kind of hit upon, and what you work for, and you know what's my heart, is group economics, us working together, us partnering and networking with each other and pulling each other up, and not that we're looking for charity. I love what you said. Hey, if I have 100,000 and you have 100,000, we have 200,000 together. So our goal should be not to switch with each other, but how do we work together and make sure that 200,000 is getting served and we both partake. And so now the pie is twice as big as either one of us had. And what are your thoughts about us just really, do you see more of us working together, or do you still see we have a long way to go?
I think I see more of us working together. I mean, I'm starting to see it more. On the other flip side, I still think we do have a long way to go, Sean. And it's, you know, it's, I don't want to sound like the pessimist here, but when you look at the black community as a whole, yes, you have pockets of people who are doing okay or doing well. But there's so many more of us who aren't doing okay, who aren't doing well. You know, even those who are supposedly in the suburban communities, you know, how many of us have a savings? Really, a set, you know, like if you have a job and you lost your job today, how long could your family survive before, you know, you were facing homelessness or what have you? You know, and that's looking at a suburban family dynamic, you know, but What about the single families, you know, the single parent families? What about the absent father families, you know, or what about the single fathers? There's so many dynamics. So I think it is getting better, but it's not getting better quick enough. You know, we need things to happen a whole lot quicker. We as a community need to come together a whole lot quicker. We as a community need to wake up. We need to understand that our reality here in, you know, in suburban Dallas, Texas, where you and I are, is not the same reality as inner city Dallas, Texas. You know,
that's
and
right.
there's so many more of us in inner city Dallas, Texas, or Oak Cliff, South Dallas, than there are of us in the suburbs. So I definitely see more positivity. I see more people who wanting to do, but we just got to do it quicker, you know, and the onus is not just on everybody else. When I said that I take responsibility for it as well, you know. So it's about what can we do to reach as many people as quickly and to be as impactful as we possibly can.
And, you know, I think that's the key. I mean, if we can come together, and I mean, we're talking about some tragedies that have happened, but you see how quickly social media comes to the aid and comes together with protest, and you know, this happens and that happens. I am challenged to understand our reluctance to do it when it comes to working together. Why, you know, why can't we, you know, have an organization or just different organizations that work together and use it and leverage that power of social media to maybe even reach into some of our inner cities and you know, maybe even come up with a, you know, maybe a Google Hangout where you can just invite men in to talk and speak into young men's lives and women as well. And I think those are some avenues that we really have to push forward. And I'm just going to say it because I think it's true. There's a lot of validity to it, is that unfortunately, when we have a lot of different things, when we try to promote things of a positive nature, a lot of times they're not supported. We do tend to sit back and become spectators and you know, commentators instead of participators. And I think that's really a sad statement on our community, is that a lot of times we look back and we're so willing and quick to point fingers instead of lending a hand. And I think that's sad. And I think that's really sad.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, and it's also it defeats the purpose and is counterproductive. You know, we need to really think in terms of action instead of pontificating on what so-and-so did wrong or what they're not doing right. You know, like you and I have said on the show many times before, what can we do right now to make an impact?
And I think that's the key that we have to each ask ourselves is, as you say, what can we do? What can we do? What can we start? And that's the key. We don't need to look at, as you said earlier, the whole pie and say, I got to bake the whole thing myself. Maybe you just bring an ingredient. Maybe you bring the eggs. Maybe you bring the milk, and I pay you for the milk. Or we put ours together, and we bake the pie together, and each get a piece of that. And the more we start working together and the more we start thinking about group economics, and like I said, and thinking about communities, there's a great discussion going on in the chat room about group economics and protecting our community. And I know that may sound racist to some, but it's just protection. And I'm not talking about being violent or anything like that. But their communities, I could not go into an Asian community and open up just a convenience store. I couldn't do it. Or I might even be able to do it, but I wouldn't have any customers because they understand that. I could not open a convenience store in a Jewish community because they understand group economics. But at the same time, having said that, in our community, it seems like it's wide open season for everybody but black owners. And some of that we have to look at ourselves and say, hey, if other people can open up stores, why can't we open stores? What are we missing? And I think that's, as we, you know, bring this back home and circle around, we talked about relationships, and I think in our community, you cannot separate the relationship from business. To me, it's all combined. And if I don't trust another black man, then I'm going to be less likely to do business with him. And I think we have to reach beyond that. And I'm not saying make foolish decisions. I'm not saying give your money away. I think Shad was saying that same thing. Make wise choices. Learn about finances. Take that information and put it back into, you know, your schools. And I tell you, we're almost out of time, but I cannot neglect and cannot go off. And once again, not touch on this one. What do you think the responsibility is in our community? Because it does play such a powerful impact and a role. What do you think the responsibility is of the church in our community to make those associations happen?
You know, I'm glad you asked that because I don't want to call it a bone to pick, but, you know, I've seen so many people downing the black church in our community. And, of course, when we say black
yes.
church, we're speaking in terms of the Christian church. And I say to me, when we turn, just to kind of preface it, when it comes to faith and religion, that's very personal. Who you choose to follow,
yes.
what message you choose to listen to, that is your own. I do think that they all have a responsibility to the community, you know, because we have more than just churches in the black community. But to speak
Absolutely.
To your point, it's very important, you know, the church is there for the people, you know, and I've seen some very, very, very poor examples of church leadership throughout my life where I have personally known churches to deny help to members of their congregation because they didn't tithe enough. They didn't put enough into
mm-hmm.
into the pot. So even though you've
mm-hmm.
been, you know, faithful coming to church, even though You have given in every other way that you possibly can because you didn't pay X amount of dollars, which we think you should have paid over the course of the year, 2 years or whatever, then you're not, we can't help you even though you're going to be homeless. We can't help you even though you're going to not have a meal for your family over the next week. But conversely, I've seen very, very positive and impactful and very strong examples of leadership within the church and what they're doing within the community. So I think yes, the church is. The church has a great responsibility because the responsibility of the church is to take care of the flock, you know. And if your flock if your flock is hungry, if your flock is homeless, if your flock is in need of tools to make it a better way for themselves, then the church needs to provide that, figure out how we're going to do that. But when I say the church is me, the church is you, the church is every other member of that congregation that is able.
Right.
So, you know, when we get to talking about the church, I think a lot of people want to point fingers at pastor. And
the thing is,
don't you go to that church too? And
that's right.
Don't you attend? So the responsibility is great on the church. However, we need to keep in mind that we are the church.
That's right. It goes both ways, and that's what I hear you saying. And I'm just going to challenge everybody out there. Look, and you know, it's not a religious show, and that's not what it's about. But that power is in our community, so we cannot negate it. Cannot just push it to the side and not talk about it. And I'm just, I hope we don't lose any listeners, but if we do, then, you know, so be it. But I'm going to challenge you. This is what I'm going to say. If there are problems in your community and you're a church member, you need to be reaching out and solving some of those problems. I've seen some of the biggest churches in some of the poorest, rundown communities, and I never have understood that. I never have understood how the church property could just be gleaming and it's just beautiful. And I go 2 feet outside the gate and there's trash everywhere. I mean, and the community looks like it's just uncared for. And I understand that's not all the people, and I get that. But my gosh, shouldn't that be an example? Shouldn't we make some kind of difference in our communities instead of going into going in and then coming out? And maybe taking the freeway so we can bypass all the negativity. Shouldn't we change some of that? Isn't that what we're called to be, you know, salt and light? I mean, my goodness, I've never understood how I can drive through some communities and there's a church. And I'm not bashing the church. And believe me, let me say this as well before I go that far. If people in the church and in the community would actually follow the teachings of it, we would be a lot better off, and I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to get off the pulpit, get off my soapbox on that one. But hey, there's a lot of foolishness that's happening, and we blame it on the church. But if we would just scratch the surface and dig a little deeper, we'd see a lot of people not living by what they proclaim to understand. Wow, man, has this been a good show for you? It's been a good one. It's been a good one for me.
It's been a great show. I'm surprised we didn't have anybody call it. I'm gonna put that out there. My feelings are hurt, but I think
they're not used to us on Monday. I think the regulars would have been here on Tuesday. I'm just gonna have faith in them. I'm gonna have faith.
Okay, I'm with you. But you know, the good thing is they can go back and listen to the playback because Shai and Bastat. He gave us a great hour. He provided us with tools, a great backstory to where he started from. So hopefully those who missed the show will listen to the playback. Those who were in, I saw people in the chat room, so I know that they were streaming. I guess they were just SHY, didn't want to call in. But this has been a good show. You know, we probably need to have more dialogue like this. You know, where it probably hurt some feelings, especially when you get to talk about the church, Sean.
I know.
we probably need to hurt a few more feelings.
Step on a few more toes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, you know what, that's the only way that we're going to move forward. We have to be, I think it's the church. And I know somewhere in the good book it talks about speaking the truth in love. And if we're not open and transparent and honest enough with each other to speak the truth, then, you know, we might as well all close up shop and go home, because this isn't going to work. It's not going to work. So, wow, another great show. We've come to the end of it. Thank you, my friend. Wow, Shabby, he delivered. You built him up. I mean, you told me all about him, but he absolutely delivered, and he hit a home run, and I am so grateful to get to know him. And I'm checking him out. I've subscribed to his YouTube channel, so I won't miss any of his videos. I'm going to go and look at some and get caught up on what I've been missing, and hopefully I can contribute to that. Maybe he'll put up a video of me one day holding up a sign, you know, joining the movement, and I would love to do that. So anyway, go ahead.
He will. I think he would. And I think Sean, just, you know, this is speaking personally, knowing what I know of Shy and the organ and some of the men that he's been working with the Break Every Chain movement, you fit in perfectly. So you definitely touch base with them. You know, we'll get you, see if we can't get you guys hooked up even further, but definitely touch base with them, because everything that you talk about, everything that you're for, I think you'll see that in the Break Every Chain movement, as well as the network of great men that are participating in that.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to add my name to that roster, and I am on board 100%. Well, dear, let our people know how they can get in touch with you, what's going on, what's ahead. It's Black History Month, and boy, I tell you, we could do a whole show about my feelings about Black history. It will probably surprise you, but it may not. But anyway, so we're going to hold off. I'm going to drop that little nugget there. I'm not even going to get that started. But what are you into? What's going on? What's happening?
Well, you know, as always, mindyourblackbusiness.com, that is constant for me. We are always looking for great businesses to write about, to feature. I'm always looking for partnerships. If you are a professional, an industry professional, if you have a passion for Black business and you can write, I'm always looking for some great writers to partner with me. The quickest way to get a hold of me is just to go to the website and hit the contact button and send me a message through there. You can also email me directly at info@mindyourblackbusiness.com. Outside of that, Sean, I just working on my consulting. I have some really great businesses that I've been partnering with. Actually, one of them, our dear friend Amanda and I are going to be doing some work together. And Amanda, she's our third. I like to call Amanda the third host on the show, because she always has some great stuff to say when she does come in. But for me, I am all about building those partnerships and relationships. So that's what I'm working on, along with, you know, the consulting and the website.
Excellent, excellent. And as far as me, I'm back. And like I said, I don't know if I'm better than ever, but I'm as good as ever. And I am hitting the ground running. We are going to be hitting it full force over the next 90 days. We're looking to help 20 people increase their income. And I'm excited, I'm on fire, and we are going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. So if you are needing, it's income tax time for a lot of you, and now it's time to make a choice. Will you invest that money in a business of your own, or will you spend it on that TV that's really just going to, just really not provide you any real long-term value? If you need help in that area, if you're serious, I'm not looking for the curious, I'm looking for the serious. If you're serious about making a change in your finances, get with me. I want to talk to you, because we are serious about making a difference in people's lives. Get with me, Sean, SHAWNHI77@yahoo.com, and I will get you some information. I promise I will get back with you, because February is going to be on. It's the shortest month. So we're already 2 days in, so we're going to hit it hard, and we're going to keep moving this thing forward, and I am so excited about it. So get with us. We are ready to help a lot of people. Anyway, as always, my friend, it has been a fantastic show. I'm just so grateful to everything and all that you do, and you are truly, truly a blessing. So with that being said, I hope that you, everybody, has a wonderful night. And remember, as we always say as we go off the show, be black, buy black, and build black. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.